All right, time to get smarter. We welcome in Super Bowl champion Husker Scott Shanley. Good Wednesday morning. Are you, in all of the bad weather games you've ever played in, would you rather play in snow or rain like the Saints and the Seahawks played in the other night?
100%. That is an easy answer. I would much rather play in snow. Playing in rain is just miserable. It's hard to get footing. And if it's a cold rain, it is much. I would rather play in a negative 20 degree snow game or no precipitation than a 30 degree game with rain. The rain just makes it miserable.
How difficult was that game? I mean, it was not appeasing at all, unless you're a fan of the Saints defense, which showed up once again.
Well, the Saints defense is the strength of the team now. And for 15 years, we get so used to seeing when the Saints played in prime time, the ball flying all over, Drew Brees picking defenses apart, and that high-flying offense. Well, the transformation of this team has really happened over the past year and a half to 2 years. The defensive side of the ball, they've drafted well. They've signed good free agents. They will go as far. The Saints will go as far as this defense can carry them and the run game. So it's completely flipped. They play defense. They run the ball. They are choosy kind of when they throw the ball, how much they throw the ball deep, and don't turn the ball over. And that's how they feel like they're going to win a lot of games. But the Saints defense is really good. I think the Saints defense can match up really well against Tampa. Tampa hasn't played a defense like this, I don't believe, yet all year. It's just going to be a matter of can the Saints offense match points.
And that's a huge game this weekend. How loud is that stadium in Seattle?
It's, to me, when I played, it was the loudest outdoor stadium. I played there 10 times. It seemed like I played there almost every year. I also played in Kansas City. Now, Kansas City recently, you know, Kansas City and Seattle go back and forth between who's the loudest. Mm-hmm. When I played in Kansas City, they weren't very good then. But Seattle had some teams during the time I played, and that place was always rocking. And if you let their 12th man get going, you give them hope early in a game, you are going to have to listen to them for all four quarters. Fortunately for the Saints the other night, that game was kind of boring, and the 12th man was just taken out by the brand of football they were watching between those two offenses.
As Russell Wilson gains so much leverage in Seattle, it's not even funny to try and ignore if you look at the way that offense operates without him.
You know, I said the same thing as I'm watching the game, and oftentimes you get guys like myself who played in a little bit different era as far as what the rules were for protecting the quarterback. And, you know, these guys, they get 40 to 50 million and everybody balks at it and like, well, they're taking up too much of the salary cap and you can only split the pie so many ways. Now your team's not going to be good. But I'll tell you what, these guys are worth their money. In fact, when you watch Jameis Winston and Geno Smith play, you're like, Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson should be making $100 million a year. They're underpaid. So these guys are definitely the draw to the NFL, and they are worth every penny because there's not many guys on walking on earth that can do what Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, they are elite athletes, and they are the reason we tune in a lot of times.
You brought up Jameis Winston. I think that was the fourth game this year he's gone without a turnover. Quietly, the Saints are winning. How would you assess his performance so far as the starter?
Jameis, you know, there were such high hopes. And oddly enough, Jameis got pushed out the back door in Tampa. He was the number one overall pick. But I think because he sat in the meeting rooms for a year and New Orleans was waiting for this strong-armed quarterback to come into the offense to change everything that we'd seen under Drew Brees the past 5 years. And I think that the bar was set so high for Jameis that people in New Orleans, Saints fans, almost feel disappointed in what they've seen in Jameis. But Jameis's role in this offense is to take care of the football. Don't put yourself in a bad position. Take what the defense gives you. And he did that the other night. He threw the ball 10 times to Kamara because Seattle was given the soft zone underneath. So he's making the plays, and he's getting better every single week as far as that goes in the offense, making the right decision, not trying to do too much. Early in the season, if people watch after the Packers game, they struggled against Carolina, and there were some other games, the Giants. He was really trying to be Superman, trying to make big plays. And I think that's when Coach Payton grabbed him and said, listen, if you want to be our quarterback, you need to play within the offense, play within what I'm calling, and don't go out there and turn the ball over. And so Jameis is doing everything that Sean's asked of him.
So I'm thinking about how you're describing that, and I look to the West Coast with Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo with Trey Lance waiting in the distance. I'm going to give you the stat because I know you are a big fan of Kyle Shanahan. So he is, without the 19 season, he is 18-36. He's 31-39 overall, but you take out the 19th season, he's 18-36. Is there something wrong with Shanahan in San Francisco, or is it quarterback play that has limited their ability to move forward?
Yeah, that really is an eye-opening stat, because I think that Shanahan is one of the better coaches in the NFL, and I think if you went to all 32 teams, I think he would have 20 or so teams that would choose him to be their coach over the coach they currently have. I think more of his record, I mean, we saw when he was in Atlanta, Matt Ryan at MVP year, took him to the Super Bowl. They obviously lost to the Patriots that year. He's an outstanding coach, but it really is about quarterback play in this league. We just talked about it with what we saw the other night in the Monday Night Football game. San Francisco, for whatever reason, when they traded for Jimmy G, and this seems to be the thing that NFL GMs are doing, is they reward guys after very limited production. Jimmy G got traded to San Francisco, played decent for some games, and they gave him all sorts of money. And they felt like, well, if we give him all sorts of money, he will be the franchise quarterback we hope he is. He should be. And he had never shown that he could carry a team like the guys we just mentioned, Russell Wilson and Rodgers. That team went to the Super Bowl because of their defensive line, because of their running game, because of Kyle Shanahan's play calling. So I feel like Kyle Shanahan, if they hit on Trey Lance, if Trey Lance is the guy they think he is when they drafted him where they did, I think you will see that record change. But if he isn't, now you will probably see Kyle Shanahan coaching somewhere else in the next 4 or 5 years.
Wow, that's wild to think. Scott Chandler joining us here on the Gary Sharp Show. All right, so let's stick with the quarterback theme. We're going to talk about Cincinnati, and then I want you to fix Patrick Mahomes. But first, are the Bengals just – you played in this league, and you know that it's a week-to-week league where you have a great performance, and the Bengals were the better team in Baltimore the other day, and so things get hyped up. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, Kansas City was the team here they are. They're the best team in the league, or they're back. Now it's Cincinnati. Bengals, fluke or no fluke?
I don't think they're a fluke. I think they're definitely a playoff team. They can probably even win the NFC North, especially with the injuries that Cleveland has. That is a really tough division. But I really like what Cincinnati – well, I've talked a lot about Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow has been everything that we thought he could be going from LSU to the Bengals. Ja'Marr Chase obviously was a great pick. To me, the difference in the Bengals is their defense. They've signed so many great players on that defense side of the ball, under-radar guys. Mm-hmm. Two of them were New Orleans Saints. Trey Hendrickson was leading sacker for the Saints last year. Von Bell was one of their best safeties a couple years ago. Eli Apple was a first-round pick. He was with the Saints as well at corner, played some good football there. They have signed a lot of really good football players, and their linebacker from Wyoming, Wilson, he's becoming Luke Kuechly-esque. I mean, he's one of the smarter guys in the league, makes tons of plays, affects the ball, turnovers. So I think Cincinnati is for real. But I think they're for real more so because of what they've done on their defensive side of the ball.
And I agree with you. That is a great defense that pressured. I think Lamar Jackson got pressured on nearly half of his pass attempts the other day. It's crazy in this business of the NFL. And then there's always that team that goes from worst to possibly first every single year. The Bengals had the worst record in 2019. But as you just alluded to, some of their free agent pickups and the draft, they have hit on the free agents, and they've hit on draft picks. And they've also, I think, another important part is they've hit on guys that it's time to cut ties with. Like Geno Atkins, if you would have said, the Bengals are going to get rid of their defensive tackle, you'd have said, well, that's the Bengals. But they've hit on all of those, and they panned out, and they're in a good spot right now. And they can also go back and say, I know you're all saying we should have taken Sewell on the offensive line, but Burrow said we got to take Chase, and now it's working out.
Yeah, those two have been unbelievable. They picked up right where they left off at LSU. And that's the other thing is, you know, everybody was ready. Was Zach Taylor ready to get the head coaching job when he got it? Was he deserving? Really struggled early on. And then you draft the guy at quarterback. And Joe's one of those guys when he walks in the locker room, even as a young guy, there's a presence, there's an aura about him. He's obviously an accomplished player. People gravitate towards him and they play to his level. They want to play at that competitive spirit that Joe Burrow brings to a locker room. So it's just like in Cleveland, you had to get rid of the dysfunction, and you know, you start to get guys who just go and collect checks and they don't really care about winning. That dysfunction is no longer there in Cincinnati. Cincinnati believes that they can win the division. They believe they can go to the playoffs and make noise. And once you get rid of that mindset that you're just there to collect a check, you can win a lot of games, and they have the right guys in that Cincinnati locker room.
All right. You need to help me and everybody else out that is a fan of Kansas City. Is correcting bad habits in the pocket much easier said than done? I'm kind of looking at Mahomes this season and where he's at and where Kansas City has to go, even with flaws on the other side of the ball, which you have well documented. Can he correct some of the bad habits that he has right now?
Well, I think so. You know, there's certainly a ton of teams that would love to have Patrick Mahomes. He didn't all of a sudden become a turnover machine overnight. He is an elite talent, but right now he's hearing footsteps. I believe a lot of the problems he has in the pocket is he does not trust the guys blocking for him. They revamped that offensive line. They went out. They got the Brown kid from Baltimore. Mm-hmm. They really redid their entire O-line. And it takes a while to get to know guys, but it takes even longer to trust guys. And when I watch Patrick in the pocket, he drops back, and he's looking. His eyes come off the receivers as quick as I've seen since he's been the starting quarterback for the Chiefs. He's looking to scramble, make plays outside the pocket, because he does not trust that the guys making that protection, that pocket for him, are going to do it very well. And I think that's where all those problems stem from with the Kansas City Chiefs. Teams are playing two deep safeties, making them be patient underneath. They need to be more patient. They're so used to the high-flying offense. They remind me a lot of the greatest show on turf when the Rams took the league by storm for a couple of years. And then the defenses started to study film for two seasons. Well, we're just going to make them be patient. If you don't take what defenses give you, you're going to keep getting more of it. And I think that's kind of where the Chiefs' offense is.
Do you see, because, you know, there's times where he'll get out of the structure. And I agree with you that the offensive line really, I mean, he gets to the top of his drop and he has Kelce down the field and he hesitates because Landry's coming at him on Saturday and on Sunday, so things start to get heated up a little bit. So he gets a little bit outside of the structure. Did you see that a little bit with Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers in years where maybe they didn't have great offensive lines, but they were still Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, and they get outside of the structure, so all of a sudden it makes it look like, oh boy, they're not good anymore?
Yeah, I mean, every quarterback's going to have an up and down season, and a lot of times those up and down seasons come from the talent around them or through injuries they're fighting through. And they're worried about protecting injuries that they're fighting through that maybe the public and media don't know about. I don't know if that's the case in Kansas City. There's a certain calming sense that comes over you as a quarterback when you feel like those guys stand in front of you can protect you. And some of it, to be quite honest, I think Andy Reid is a heck of a play caller. He's a Hall of Fame coach. But some of what Andy has to do is he has to realize that his quarterback's getting hit, his quarterback doesn't trust his own line, and that ball needs to come out faster. More West Coast, three-step, quick drop stuff, get rid of the ball quicker. I know it's not the fancy down-the-field, seven-step drop, deep ball stuff, but you have to get the confidence back for Patrick, and it just seems like he's lacking that confidence. And if you watch Tom Brady, everybody says, how's Tom Brady keep playing at this age the way he's playing? Well, the ball does not stay in his hands very long.
Yeah.
He gets the ball, he's one step back, that back foot hits the ground, and the ball's coming out. And I think Kansas City maybe needs to do a little bit more of that in their offense.
One final thing here. You've seen by now Mike Tomlin was asked about the USC rumors yesterday. Why do you think his name came up for the USC job? Why do you think Sean Payton's name comes up? Pete Carroll's is being asked again about, do you want to go back to USC? Why in particular do you think Tomlin was asked, or his name came up at SC?
Well, I just think sometimes it could be USC putting those names out there. It could be that USC wants people to think that that is the status of coach that they want. That is the status of coach that is interested in that job. And all of a sudden, it opens up the doors to James Franklin. It opens up the doors to all these other guys that maybe wouldn't consider the job. So if you're James Franklin and you think, why would I take that job? I'm happy here. But, Tomlin and Sean Payton and Pete Carroll and all these other guys, That changes the hierarchy of that job opening. So I think sometimes agents or schools release those type of names just to change the perception of how big of a job it is.
I know, I think I've asked you this before. Take out the recruiting aspect. Would you rather coach in college or in the NFL?
I would definitely probably rather coach in the NFL. I think there's more time off in the offseason. There's not a ton of time off in any coaching profession, but the recruiting part, I know you said to take it out. That's a huge part of it. I mean, then you have the transfer portal, and the college football game has really changed the past 5 years or so with the way social media is and, like I said, the transfer portal. I would much rather, if you're a position coach or in the NFL, you scout your guys in the offseason. You give the GM and the scouts your recommendation for who you like as players. Sometimes they draft players you don't like, and you just have to coach them. But I think the NFL game would be the way to go.
Could Sean Payton be a good college coach?
I think Coach Payton is one of those coaches where he could coach at any level and be successful, just because he knows how to get the best out of every player, no matter what their talent level is, no matter what position they're playing. He just knows what buttons to push, and I think he could. He knows what the game is about offensively. He sees it in a different way than a lot of people. So I think you would see that NFL flavor as far as the mismatches he brings, the type of players he would recruit to get those mismatches. So I think he could definitely be a college coach.
Scott, as always, I appreciate it. Enjoy the great showdown between the Bucks and the Saints this weekend, and happy Halloween to the family.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
That's Scott Shanley, joins us every Wednesday. Interesting perspective. I was maybe a little harsh on my quarterback there. I was breaking down my own film. The pass pro wasn't good against Tennessee, and that threw Mahomes off. And he could have back-to-back clean pockets and look like Patrick Mahomes again when they play the Giants and the Packers back-to-back. But again, there's a lot of times where he's throwing the football and he looks like he's trying to throw for a 21-point touchdown pass with that defense. You're 10-point favorite. I believe that the Chiefs will be my elimination pool pick, my suicide pick this week. I'm still in that. And I don't know if I've mentioned this yet, Josh. I was going to save it for Joe joining us tomorrow. But I did win in fantasy football this past weekend.
You did not.
We are 1-6. I've not fired anybody. We had a come to Jesus meeting.
Stayed the course.
I talked to Brady and I said, hey, we need a big day out of you. I said, Tyreek Hill, we got to get back in the mix. DeAndre Swift, I don't care if you're going out to play at Los Angeles and the Lions this season is teeter-tottering. I just need you to touch the ball and get big yards. I don't care. You know, maybe get some touchdowns, but I just need you to pick up a lot of big yards. So I had a good visit with my guys. I got my Browns defense going, so I'm good. I'm good. I'm patient. I'm holding on for this week, but we're on the trade deadline coming up, so we may have.
Nobody circles the wagons like
Bishop Sycamore fantasy football team.
Yes.
Thank you.
That's what they say.
Yes. Brian Flores in Miami today was asked about Deshaun Watson. Boy, coaches are getting testy. They're being asked about rumors. Brian Flores, again, stuck with Tua is our quarterback. Paraphrasing, he said he does not get into rumors. It just makes Miami look such a bad look. They're now the only team that Deshaun Watson has said that he would be traded to. Some reports say they've already agreed to a trade, but there are legal things that are holding it up. But the NFL said yesterday they don't have the necessary info to do anything with Deshaun Watson right now. Desperation by the Dolphins. They had it going last year. You thought the Dolphins were turning it around. And then this year has gone like it has. And they are desperately wanting Deshaun Watson. And there's probably teams that are like, no way. We would love Deshaun Watson in Philadelphia. We'd love Deshaun Watson in Carolina. There's other places. They would probably, Denver, love Deshaun Watson, but we're not touching him until the legal stuff is cleared up. Not the Dolphins. Not the Dolphins. They want Deshaun Watson. The NFL says they're not going to interfere. How do you think Ezekiel Elliott feels when he hears that? With no charges, the NFL is not going to interfere. Ezekiel, how are you feeling about that statement by Roger Goodell yesterday? But it's the Dolphins are bust for Deshaun Watson, and the trade deadline is next week. All right, coming up next, we've reached a halfway point of the week. That means it's time for the mailbag. Have we heard back from Zach, who got married on Saturday? We helped him get engaged. He had his wedding, the ceremony. I did not see anybody from Scott Hall on the police blotter, so everything went well. No fights between future brother-in-laws or anything like that?
Haven't heard from him post-wedding.
Okay. Did he say where he was going on his honeymoon?
No.
Maybe into the mountains this time of the year.
Oh, lovely this time of year.
It would be really nice to go to the mountains.
Yeah.
Instead of, going to the...
I went a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
Utah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, that was kind of like a work trip.
It was very much a work trip.
You didn't
trip.
Get to spend much time in the mountains of Utah.
No, but I did find a beer.
I asked you immediately, did you have to pay a cover charge? But I understand they've waived that now.
Yes.
Because that used to be the deal, is you bought a membership to a bar. It was essentially a cover charge. But now you don't have to do that. They are less strict in the state of Utah.
Nope, they sold it just like a regular restaurant. We did have to get food, but that's okay. We were eating anyway.
That makes sense. Now, was it a local beer?
It was.
You remember the name?
I don't remember the name. They had some work to do. Weren't quite up to the levels we're used to here locally with our great breweries.
Speaking of beer, local, this radio station, stay tuned. We may have a major announcement coming before you know it. That's what we call a tease into the top of the hour. Mailbag is coming up next on the Gary Sharp Show with Josh on 1620 The Zone.